Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is the Total Package, Lex Luger, and you are in the room with Brady Hicks.
Hey everybody, welcome to In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com and TheBradyHicks.com. Yes, I am aware that TheBradyHicks.com is down right now. I forgot to pay the bill. My fault. We'll have to get that fixed. VOCNation.com though, we're going strong. I know that's funny. I was going to pass the bill along to Bruce, and then I realized that all of a sudden I'm on my own here. So anyway, I'm excited for tonight. It should be a good show. We don't have any guests planned, but we do have a brand new panelist on In the Room, and I'm very excited about that. In addition to myself and Ray and Kathy, who are here faithfully each and every week, we have joining us for the first time on In the Room as a co-host, former WCW star, the star of WCW Retro right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network, an all-around great guy. And he's got so many different side projects going on. We're going to have to talk about all that stuff. I honestly don't know how he's going to have time, Ray, Kathy, how he's going to have time to do this show. Because he seems like he's always doing something. But we have the Stro with us. What's going on, Stro?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Stro.
We're doing great. You know, really, if Stro is hard up for time, well, the first thing he can do is he can stop watching Raw. I have so much time on Monday nights to do things like eat and shower and play with my Willy. You know, it's just, I have plenty of time to do those things now. Well, I mean, and that's only, and remember, that only fills up the first 45 minutes. So, yeah. He could do that. The other things he could stop doing, if he works, he could just stop working. You know, that's a thing you could do.
I could retire. That'd be great.
Yeah, just retire. There you go.
Oh, wishful thinking, that's for sure. Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? If we're talking about playing with our Willy, and that is the jumping off point that I guess I'll choose from what I just heard. I suppose so. It definitely beats playing with your Willy while you're watching Raw. I will say that.
You can't do that.
But I know from experience.
There's no Willy worthies on Raw.
Willy and his serious hand jive, right?
Why do I know this whole conversation is going down the tube, sir?
You're going to love this. If you think this is bad, just wait until we start talking about how WWE is actually going to somehow, they just said how, like eventually, they're going to somehow value the network even further.
I was referring, actually, to the Willy and the Hand Jive song from George Thorogood and Destroyers.
Right.
That's a good reference.
That was actually a song they made for a video, years ago, that Bill Apter and Gordon Sully hosted I think it was Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and they showed like highlights of like the old school NWA matches.
Good day.
I love it. Wonderful Willie. You know what I want to talk about tonight? I didn't want to talk about Raw. I haven't been home in 2 days, so I haven't had the chance to see Raw, but you know, one thing that I love about the WWE Network, and I'm curious if you guys agree with me here, but I love the fact that you can get it on your mobile device. So I can sit back and I can watch pretty much any pay-per-view to my heart's content, and I love the old stuff so much more than what WWE has put on TV these last couple weeks and even months. So for me, The WWE Network is where it's at. I don't know if it's affecting Raw numbers, but I can't imagine that it isn't. It just, to me, it's like there's so many more interesting things on that network than there are on Raw or SmackDown.
Oh, I just thought, here's the thing. First off, I have a pretty good tape library. You know, I've converted it to my computer. I've got most of it on there because I don't know. Who the hell has a working VCR anymore? Sure as hell is not me.
I still got Matrix.
That is impressive, Dad. I'm not sure what to say there. So I'm just going to keep going with where I was going with this. Hey, if you find any old Betamax discs, though, definitely, or Laser discs, definitely, definitely let me know if you have those.
Armando Estrada, I got the antennas with the aluminum holding up to the TV.
Stro's the last person on Earth. I can't get the damn game, these rabbit ears. Anyway. You know, I would assume you guys, just to at least some degree, if not more than I do, have, you know, some kind of your own tape library or your own tape library on your computer. Is the case is for me. So I dropped the WWE Network because I simply don't need it. I mean, I've got hours and hours worth of stuff on my computer from the late 70s through the mid 80s that I just haven't watched yet. You know, you find stuff here, you find stuff there, you buy it, you convert it, you get it converted over to digital and put it on your computer, and then you forget about it because you have things like friends and a job and things to do. So, I mean, I canceled it because I don't need it, and I'm also not watching Raw. It's been, I mean, Brady figured when we did the Coma show a couple weeks ago, and uh-huh. I haven't watched it for like 2 weeks, and I still have not watched it. Have not turned it on, have not had any interest in turning it on. From what I have read, there's no reason for me to have any interest in turning it on. I'm just uninterested.
Well, you know what? It kind of leads to my point for the discussion for tonight. And let me give out the number if anyone wants to join in. That's 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234, toll free. Call in, be a part of the show with myself, Ray, Maestro, Kathy. You know, if I'm to look at it, and I look at the WWE Network, and Ray, I can understand where you're coming from. I mean, if you have a video library, you feel like you don't need to spend that money or whatever, but is it worth it just for the pay-per-views, for $10 a month? I felt like it was. Let me go first. I felt like it was until the point where they're not giving me a title match on the pay-per-view. I feel like what we're building toward now is you're going to have, like, 4 or 5 really big shows a year, and then all these other little $9.95 per views, are just going to be glorified Raws and SmackDowns.
I think you're more right, like, on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're more like Clash of Champions more than pay-per-views, right?
Yeah, it's so strange to me. I mean, that, you know, listen, I'm excited. I love Dean Ambrose, and I love Seth Rollins, and I'm sure they're going to have a hell of a match, especially in a Hell in a Cell. I love that. But you've got who you're selling as the most dominant world champion, quite possibly, that you've ever had. I don't understand how you don't throw the fans that are subscribing a bone and put him on a pay-per-view. And we're not even talking like we're missing one. They're talking he might not be back until January. Like, to me, that's a disgrace, and that's taking advantage of your fans.
I think it's taking advantage of the fans, too. Don't misunderstand when I say this. But I think, because the discussion that you sort of had for us today, if you're doing, I guess you can call what we do throughout the day before this show prep, and by the way, you did not open the show with the video I put in the comments for that discussion, and I am sad because that is way better than anything we have in the audio library right now.
Anyway,
you see it. Maybe it didn't go through. I don't know. It was awesome. It's two little white girls playing violins, playing violin covers of a Nicki Minaj song. It's awesome. Anyway,
hold on. I like Nicki Minaj as much as the next person. Okay, let's see.
So anyway.
Yeah, no, it didn't come up right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sad. I'll set it to we can do it some other time. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because I think that moving toward what sort of ultimately came up in our prep thread of only really having 4 or 5 pay-per-views a year, I think that's great. I say do that. Now you give me 4 or 5 really good pay-per-views a year. Maybe I sign back up.
Okay.
But when's the last time, Brady? When is the last year? And we'll go bottom number here. When's the last year you said, "Wow, they gave us, you know, they gave us X number of good pay per views, and it was 4 or more." It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that you're right. I can't think of it anytime recently, but Kathy, I mean, I'm looking at this, and does it really work like that, like addition by subtraction? I feel almost like while it's great from, like, a booking perspective to only have 4 or 5 major shows, I feel like fans have been accustomed to more for a long time now.
Yeah, they have, but it's, I'm sorry, I'm old school. I want to see the champion at least a couple of them.
Sure.
Not just one. And like you said, Brady, it's nothing but a glorified Raw or SmackDown. That's all it is.
Yeah. And, you know, and adding along to that, too, I mean, it's hard to, like, build anything when you're oversaturated full of events and pay-per-views, like, throughout the year, whereas if you had, like we had back in the day, just a few big ones throughout the year to build upon. I mean, the marketing would be that much more efficient. I mean, and just have, like, you know, I mean, instead of these, like, in-between deals like we've been having, you know, just have, like, some rockin' TV tapings, you know, leading up to that, you know? And I thought, like, with Raw last night, they really stepped it up last night as far as the matches went. I mean, we got to see some pretty solid matchups.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. To me, and you're right, I mean, you know, if you pump out good tapings, I don't think people are going to miss these quote-unquote pay-per-views, which really aren't pay-per-views anymore at this point. It's very difficult to call it that because I can't imagine that many people are really paying for them via pay-per-view. But, you know, to me, if they're paying $9.99 and they're getting this and this and this and this, I mean, unless you're including those kick-ass tapings as part of the network or finding a way to work NXT in more or something, you don't just take away 8 pay-per-views from your calendar and give them kick-ass tapings. I don't see how the fans don't revolt from that because just looking at it on paper, it looks like you're being ripped off even more. And I think that's the biggest problem I have with it. I don't disagree philosophically with it. I don't see the fans sticking around if you're taking all that away.
You know, I think all the stuff we bring up, I think there's a bigger point to be made, and it's that the value of the WWE product was grossly overvalued before all of this started.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, think about it. All right. Think about it. The NFL comes to you. and they say, we're going to give you access to the NFL library, and we're going to bring you the games that you want on your phone or your computer, or you can stream them over the internet for, and there's, you know, it's a limited season. Let's say $50 a month in season.
Okay.
People would eat that shit up.
Do you really think so, though?
I do. I think that if AMC made something similar to the WWE Network for their original content, buy that up instantaneously. Now, you look at what they're offering you with the network right now. They're offering you a minimum. If you just put a price on the pay-per-view per month, they're offering you a minimum of, what, $40 worth of programming for $9.95?
Mm-hmm.
And they're also giving you access to the tape library and their original content. You would think that would be a steal. You would think people would be gobbling that up, but they're not. And it certainly is not for lack of income. I mean, this is $10 we're talking about.
I mean, here's my thing, and I'll throw it back to you for NFL analogy first. I don't think it's a fair comparison at all, because fans are already getting their home team locally for free. And that is pretty much across the board. And when the blackout rules go away, like they're probably going to do, that will be across the board. Everybody will have access to their local team for free. Unless you're an NFL nut, and I mean, you would have to be an NFL nut, because the NFL Network on most basic cable packages gives you access to at least the majority of footage from each of the games during the course of the week. You just have to check the right schedule. I don't see where people are paying $50 for that kind of content. There are so many, they would have to take so many free resources away from people in order for fans to want to gobble something like that up, in my mind. But what WWE did right, and it all comes back to that for me, is they're giving fans free pay-per-views, basically, for this $10 a month. And that is the major selling point here. I mean, the on-demand library is fine or whatever. I mean, that's great. But I think what's selling the fans at this point, because most of the fans aren't hard, I think they're hardcore current fans. They're not historians like we are, you know? They're fans who want to see John Cena win the belt. They're the ones that are ordering the network. They're kids. That's who's ordering the network. And if you take those pay-per-views away, all they're left with is all this old stuff and a few original programs that were before most of these kids' times. I don't see it sticking around. I don't. I'm sorry if I'm going in circles here, but I think that would be a major impact on a business model that they've already changed pretty majorly in the last year. Wow, I guess I did good there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
No one else is going to jump in? Okay, that's fine. I mean, Brady, when I make the NFL comparison, I suppose I should clarify. I'm assuming there isn't already an NFL Network. Yes, I'm aware that the NFL Network basically gives you everything except live access to the games that I suggested before. And
sure.
And so yeah, I should clarify that kind of is what it is. I think when I say that the product was overvalued, is that I think a lot of WWE fans, if you look at viewers for Raw, versus subscribers for the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
I think it becomes obvious that a lot of fans don't value access to the programming. They just simply don't.
I mean, you're right. You're right. I think part of the problem from that end is that, and you know, we're talking about a whole different issue here. While people aren't subscribing to the network, I think that by and large, what they're seeing on Raw and SmackDown, because there's 5 hours a week there, plus Total Divas, if you watch that. By the way, Stro, that's my favorite show. My favorite wrestling show is Total Divas, mm-hmm. like by far. Because I always like the storylines. I always like the fun little backstage stuff more than the matches themselves. It's crazy, I know, but I always did. So if you're giving fans 6 hours of content, not counting the WWE Network, you're asking for only the very hardcore of the hardcore to subscribe, Maestro.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that, WWE is really, they're good at is storyline. And that's very much apparent, you know, with the Total Divas. You know, they, even with all the craziness and the drama going on, there is a actual story involved. And that's one thing I've, when the WWE, when they hit stuff on, I mean, they're dead on, but when they miss. But I mean, when as far as like their production and like if you watch the people that make the videos, the Titantron videos and everything, I mean, they do such an amazing job. And even the videos itself tell a story, you know? So, I mean, they're really, that's one I commend them for. They're really good at telling stories.
And that's something that I always felt, and I'm curious if you agree with me, having been a part of Nitro, that's something where I always thought that WWE, even when they were down, definitely shined over a lot of their competitors. You know, their ability to tell a story with a short commercial, you know, or a short video package that, you know, you mix in some music, you throw in some sound bites and some awesome action, and you're selling at a level that most other companies just aren't able to do. Oh, Ray, you're losing me there. Okay.
I don't think we're better.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think anybody is arguing that, you know, that the product is poorly produced. Well, most of it isn't poorly produced. You still have that shaky camera thing sometimes. But for the most part, it's fairly well produced. I think that what you said initially gets back to kind of the broader, more encompassing question or point here. And it's that you're giving so much content already that it becomes hard to justify paying for more content. I mean, yeah, you know, you or I could on a given Sunday watch, you know, 10 hours of football. It that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't then pay for extra football.
That's right.
I mean, they're asking for too much. What they're asking for you to do is add a work day to your schedule.
And I think that speaks to the larger point here. And I suspect, obviously I don't know because I haven't talked to anybody from WWE with this, but I suspect that they really thought that Raw and SmackDown would end up on their network. That probably isn't what they wanted, but I suspect that they really thought that that was the direction that it was headed. So that if you wanted to have WWE in any form whatsoever, you really needed to have the network. And I know that they're keeping that in their back pocket for down the line or whatever, that that's always an option that they could pull the shows and do that. But it's such a ballsy thing that I don't know that they could ever really pull that off. And if they did, that would be the only way that I think that they could guarantee that this network thing really takes off. And it's high risk, high reward. I mean, make no mistake about it. If you move your flagship show and your very close to flagship show to the network, that is a huge gamble. A huge gamble that could ultimately kill your company. Anybody?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have, because, I mean, having, like, Raw and SmackDown on major networks, you know, it only brings in more revenue and only entices somebody to get, like, the WWE Network that much more. The fact that, you know, with all the plugging and seeing all the history that's involved with the WWE Network, and not just from WWE history, from all different, like, territories and companies.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it just entices that consumer that much more to buy the WWE Network. Having Raw and SmackDown on like the USA Network and so forth. So and the Sci-Fi Network. So I mean, it just builds it that much more.
And by the way, WWE, make no mistake about it, they are hurting with the network right now, because I don't know if you guys saw this, but they sent out a memo on their website. They're going to start incorporating ads. So, you know, in addition to your streaming service and everything, if you subscribe now, you're going to start getting commercials during the network as well. And that may not seem like that big of a deal, like an ad here or an ad there or whatever. I mean, YouTube does it all the time. But, you know, when you look at what the trend that kind of starts, Ray, it's a very slippery slope, and it's very dangerous. And I think the biggest thing of all, more than any of that, is it really speaks to the fact that WWE needs to start making serious money on this network one way or another.
Brandon, can I tell you a story? Just to highlight how dangerous of a slope this is, can I tell you a story?
Sure.
Okay, the time is many, many years ago, because I do not remember the exact number of years. So it was many, many years ago.
Galaxy Far, Far Away? Galaxy Far, Far Away?
It was many, many years ago. At a time when a tiny little being called cable television was just being brought into the world. And little baby cable, as he sat in the NICU, because he was born a little premature, little baby Cable sat there, and his mother and father, analog TV and rabbit ears.
I'm sorry, did they have to cut the umbilical cable?
They did.
okay.
it was a coaxial cable. They were informed that little baby Cable would not have advertisements because people were going to be paying for the service.
Sure.
Okay. That was the real sales pitch when little baby Cable TV was first brought into this world. Now, Brady, are you near your TV?
Yes.
Okay, turn it on.
Well, if you want me to look for ads, I don't think I need to turn
it on
to do that.
Turn it
sounds
on
like
and go to
sounds like a pop-up
turn it on
phone book.
Turn it on and go to any cable channel.
All right, hold on.
I'm putting my headphones down. Okay.
This is good.
All right, what should I put on? Let's see, what do I have now?
Oh, I don't care. Oh. Just go to a couple different channels.
Okay. I'm on MTV right now.
Okay, and what is on MTV?
10 Nuggets for $1.49.
All right. So yeah. Easy. Okay. Now go. Just hit channel up. What channel are we on now?
Sci-fi.
You're on sci-fi. And what are
that's not an act.
What are the people on sci-fi telling us?
Well, it's a show called Face Off. It's about
okay. Go ahead. Go to the next channel.
Okay. Okay, this is VH1, and
okay.
This show is called Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Ooh, I'm going to record that. That sounds good. All right.
All right. Okay.
So far, only one of three had an ad, so what
yes,
is the point of
it's
the
true. Let me check the time. Ah, yes, the shows have just started. I was off by about 3 minutes. Brady. If you watch a show on cable television, much like a show over the air, you'll note that it usually ends if it starts. So let's say it's a half-hour show,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts at the top of the hour. You'll notice that it's pretty much wrapped up by 25 after. This is so you can get 5 minutes of commercials.
Okay.
Brady, we don't put on 5 minutes of commercials.
Well, we do, but we don't wrap up 5 minutes early. Yeah, I get your point. I get your point.
Soon, my network friends, soon you will be inundated with ads, much like you are watching a WWE cable channel.
You know what's funny too is when you say that, people started complaining like 3 or 4 years ago when they started adding advertisements to pay-per-views, and now it's like a pretty fairly common practice.
It's a brave new world, Brady. It's a brave
news. I did notice the last. I didn't notice the last pay per view that they did have. You know, there were like commercials during the pay per view, and it was just blowing my mind. You know how, you know, there's like commercials going on during a pay per view, but I mean, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, I'm pretty sure you'll see more of that to come.
And I guess you're right. I mean, I guess it is the way of the world there. It blows my mind, or at least it did when they first started doing it, because we're not talking about, like, ads for the next pay-per-view. Like, I can remember back in 1990, you know, I'd be watching SummerSlam and they'd have an ad for Survivor Series on there. That was totally normal, and, like, that's totally an accepted way of doing business, but they're showing ads for, like, Domino's Pizza and Stacker 2. And it just...
You know, in their defense, Brady, that's a pretty good... That's a pretty good product combination for their audience.
Oh, yeah, I'm not arguing with it. I think it's great. And I'm sure it's great money for them. So that's where we're at. let's take a commercial break. On the other side, we can definitely continue this discussion and... I also want to talk about, I actually talked to somebody today, and he's going to be a guest on the show next week. I'm very excited about that. A former WWE star, a multiple-time former WWE star. We'll talk about that on the other side. And, of course, take your calls. We're talking the WWE Network. We're talking all their troubles with that and so much more. 855 VOC Radio, that's 855-862-7234. Toll free. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network on vocnation.com and pretty soon, once again, thebradyhicks.com. And I did not mean to play One Direction here, but I guess it's fine.
Yes, you did.
We'll be back. Well, I did. But not really. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. The ground beneath my feet is open wide. The way that
I've been holding on too tight, with nothing in... Live from the In The Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. It is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime. Woo!
Hey, guys. Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. NetCarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your NetCarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not...
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the end cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
From One Direction to Godsmack. Flawlessly. Just seamlessly. Like, you didn't even feel it, did you? You didn't even notice. I went from One Direction to Godsmack. Welcome back. Welcome back to In the Room, guys, on the VOC Nation Radio Network. That is, of course, VOCNation.com, and soon to be once again, very soon, I promise, TheBradyHicks.com. I'm Brady Hicks. With me, Ray Bogus, the maestro of wrestling, the Stro, Tavi Fitz. You will be on the air for the next hour and 20 minutes, taking your calls, talking everything that you want to talk, WWE Network, WWE's failures as a company. I don't think they do that bad. I don't think they do that bad of a job on the whole. I have a hard time getting into the programming, but I don't think it's that bad. We should also talk some TNA Bound for Glory tonight because their biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Oh, we should.
Just
You're
took
right,
place.
We should.
Dixie Carter doing a fabulous job tweeting all about it, you know, getting people excited. So
Ooh.
We have to talk about that as well.
Who was excited about this?
Well, Dixie Carter was. I mean, I'm enthralled by the idea. I mean, we were comparing it to the like those massive interpromotional shows of like the early 1990s. You know, like
who
the
was comparing it to that?
Dixie Carter.
Oh, but who was agreeing with her?
Dixie Carter. I don't know. I'm sure some people were. I mean, I'm sure that they did some buys of some sort.
Right. No.
Dixie Carter and all the butt kissers in that company.
You know, I tried flipping back and forth to that a couple times. And what kept happening was I kept saying, nope, you know what? I'd rather watch Eli Manning get hit in the head.
Wait, so you ordered the pay-per-view or no?
Well, I had it available to me.
We'll
leave it at that.
I got you.
I had it available to me if I so wanted. And
you were at your friend Justin's house watching it on his TV.
Sure.
Okay.
As far as this show is concerned, that is what I did. Now, I don't, for the life of me, understand why anyone would have been excited about this. But every time I flipped it on, I noticed something. I noticed, and granted, I have a little familiarity with the Japanese wrestlers, so it helped. But I noticed that the work that was going on in front of me was almost watchable. Almost.
Okay.
And then one of the commentators would open their mouth.
Okay.
I don't
hey,
know
which
if
one
you've ever
that be right?
I don't know if you guys have ever felt an aneurysm start to develop.
Oh, you're so dramatic. It couldn't have been that bad.
But they begin in between the eyebrows, but deep back in the brain tissue.
No, and that's kind of my dream.
It starts to pulsate, and you hear Tanae's voice, which is in and of itself bad. And then you hear him try to string together words, and that pulsating begins to go forward and throb up, back through the skull, and down your spine.
Is that when Taz starts to talk?
Taz responds.
Yes.
And it is at this point that your soul attempts to spring out through your nostrils and escape from the meat bag which it is currently enclosed in.
Wow, that's how I felt in SmackDown last week.
I hear you. But that wasn't their biggest show of the year, you know? I like TNA. I want TNA to be around. I mean, I beat Ray and Derek in a bet earlier this year that TNA would continue to be on life support through the end of the year.
You know what? Honestly, Brady, like, you celebrating that bet is like, you know, like those groups that protested in front of Terry Sivo's house. that's like those groups celebrating a temporary injunction. That's, there you go. That's your victory. Meanwhile, Terry TNA is still laying in bed, unable to do anything except sort of stare and drool.
Oh, my God. As a side, just an interesting little anecdote. My cousin actually got married 2 weeks ago. And this has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that Ray brought it up. My cousin married the niece of Terry Schiavo.
Yeah, I'll bet she's
cool
dynamite and sack.
How cool is that?
That's definitely something you use as a conversation starter, at a dinner party. Oh, hi, how are you? What's your name? Oh, that's very interesting. Did you know that I'm currently banging the niece of Terry Schiavo? Ah. Why, yes, she does do more than just lie there. Why do you ask?
Oh, my God, Ray. You can't do that. Let's take it back to TNA. You're talking about Tony Schiavone. one of my favorite Tony Schiavone moments, it probably happened like 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember. I think it was back when, like, maybe it was Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter were fighting for control of the company.
That was a good era.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. And Hulk Hogan literally on the show had just stolen control of the company from Dixie Carter. And Mike Tenay, in his best no-selling voice that I've ever heard, just pretty much said, well, this will be interesting. To the back. And then they went to the back to interview one of the X Division guys. And, like, to me, Tony Schiavone has his moments. I appreciate a lot of what he's able to do is an. I said that right. It is Tony Schiavone, right? I didn't mess it up, did I? No, it's Tony Schiavone and Taz, right?
No.
No, am I messing up?
Is it Tony Schiavone?
No, what's his name? I can picture his face. Tony Schiavone's the WCW guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who's the announcer? Ray, who's the announcer with Taz?
Mike Tenay.
I've been saying Tony Schiavone, and I meant Mike Tenay. Yeah, Mike Tenay, in his best no-selling voice, to the back, and then they interview an X Division guy. Like, nothing happened. And that, I think that's a huge...
Well, you know, Brady, in a way, nothing had happened. maybe Mike Tenay's, like, entire gimmick is that he's actually, like, omnipresent. And he's aware that everything is fake and that it's all bad. So he's just sort of nonchalant because he, like the an omnipotent creator being of TNA, understands that life will go on. And this is all just his petri dish.
I guess.
Who am I to say things?
I'm just saying, you know, I feel like TNA, brilliant concept, having the show overseas, falls flat with American fans because they want to see their titles defended, and almost none of them were. They wanted to see names that they're familiar with. At least half the roster for that show wasn't familiar. Not everybody's Ray Bogus, you know. Some of us.
Well, and I say I have some familiarity with them, I mean when it comes to Japanese wrestling, and I say I have some familiarity with them, I mean that the names are sort of familiar, and if I'm taking a multiple choice test, I can probably guess my way to high F, matching them to promotions.
I mean, I write for a famous professional wrestling magazine. I'm a staff member, a freelance writer for them, and I couldn't have told you half the people on the show, and that's terrible. I know, it is, but And I'll grant you, like, a lot of that is my own ignorance. But if I'm not able to name a lot of them, as a casual writer, how are these casual fans going to care or be that enthralled with a bunch of names that they've never heard of? I mean, it would have to be a phenomenal, like blow-your-mind kind of show in order to keep people's interest for 3 hours, I think. And that's part of the problem with this whole concept. They're catering to fans that aren't theirs. And when you do that, you definitely run into trouble for possibly alienating the fans that you have for your biggest show of the year. I think it worked as a niche show. I don't think it works as your biggest show of the year. And that's the problem that I had with it all along.
Oh, come on, Brady. The best pay-per-view WWE ever put on was the time they had their pay-per-view in Zimbabwe. And they got the champions, all the people from Zimbabwe Pro Wrestling International, to take part on their card. And the only people they took over with them, now, this was in the early 80s. This is the WrestleMania that predates WrestleMania. And they went over to Zimbabwe, and the only wrestlers they took with them were Paul Orndorff and Iron Mike Sharp. That was it.
Jim Brunzel was there?
I thought Jim Brunzel
was there. Was everywhere. Yeah, he was everywhere. He was probably there somewhere. I don't remember. But they, you know, they would have taken those three, and probably Freddie Blassie for an in-ring appearance, worked the crowd a little bit. And then the rest of the wrestlers were from Zimbabwe Pro Wrestling International. And it was a great pay-per-view. And you can watch this pay-per-view at any time, and you don't even need the WWE Network. All you need is a really fresh can of paint and a small, enclosed, airtight room.
I mean, Maestro, I mean, you've been around this stuff a long time. What they did for Bound for Glory, in your opinion, did that work? Like, I'm not saying, like, did it work in terms of pay-per-view buys, but is it, like, is that something that you should be doing for your biggest show of the year? Am I totally off the mark here?
Well, you know, they have had this opportunity to do something with Japan Pro Wrestling, and I mean, they've got the talent to really a great show and a great card. You know, it's just I don't know. I mean, if it were me, I would definitely put my best foot forward and, you know, put the very best they had with the very best they had. I mean, really to get a kickstart rocking a, you know, pay-per-view event going to kind of, you know, break the ice, if you will.
Sure.
And, you know, with and you have the opportunity of Tajiri and Muda tagging together. I mean that's big. And I mean,
it's a huge deal.
And with the teams like the Dudleys, you know, Team 3D, the Hardy Boys, and the Wolves, and guys like that, why don't you put your best teams forward? You know, I mean, take on their very best. And I mean, because I mean, I think when the concept came about them, you know, working with Japan and everything, you know, I was pretty excited the fact that you could see some, you know, some great talent work together and have great matches, you know, on these pay per views. But I don't know, you know, I guess I was expecting a little bit more, honestly. I mean, but that's just me. But now they got the talent to do it, but it's just, once again, it goes back to the office, you know, putting things together.
I don't understand, and I know we've talked about this probably ad nauseum. I'm sure people are sick of it, but how do you have your biggest pay-per-view of the year and such a big deal? Like, it really could have been such a big deal. But you don't have your world champion. You don't have a women's title match. You don't have a tag title match. Yeah, you're pretty much, and your X-Division title, your champion is a guy who anyone who reads the internet knows lost the title last week. And when Impact catches up with it, he he's no longer going to be the champion. So you had a title defense for a guy that already lost a belt, and that was the only title on the line. You didn't have Kurt Angle there for obvious reasons. You didn't have Bobby Roode there. I don't know. Like you said, putting your best foot forward, it doesn't even seem like they half-assed it. And believe me, I love TNA. I love the people that are involved in it. A lot of them are my very good friends, but I don't understand how that makes a Bound for Glory show worthwhile. Like, I feel like they could have done so much more with it.
Well, by so much more, Brady, do you mean they could have done literally anything else with it?
I guess. I mean,
I still plan on seeing the show.
I wasn't around on Sunday night. I do still plan on seeing the show. But
here's the thing. Go ahead.
No, but I'm not in any rush. I don't feel like that's something like I've got to go out and see right now. You know, it's just something that I want to get to at some point because of my own general curiosity with it.
And here's the thing, though, Brady. When we started making fun of this, because I do want an answer to this. They have done literally anything else. And we started making fun of this a couple weeks ago. What could they have possibly done that could have been more poorly constructed than what they did?
Well, what do you mean, in terms of, like, booking?
I mean, just, like, with how they did it and what the show was. I mean, could they have possibly put together a worse card?
Well, let me – I'm going to look up the card right now because that would be handy to have that, I think. Like I said, it sounded at least somewhat interesting to me. My biggest problem was it didn't feel like a Bound for Glory, you know? It felt like some kind of special interpromotional show that they would do with another company that maybe they would air down the line on pay-per-view. Okay, here we go. Minoru Tanaka defeats Manic by submission. Manic is Suicide, right? I think he is.
Yeah, Manic, Suicide, Homicide, Murder Bot, or whatever the hell that other one is. Murder Clown.
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Ethan Carter III, bright up-and-coming star, Ryota Hama, MVP, defeats Kazuma Sakamoto. That sounds good. I would check that out. Samoa Joe, with the title that he already lost, defending against Loki and Kaz Hayashi. Okay.
Gee, I wonder who won that.
Yeah. Novus, the team of Novus. See, I think you're right, Maestro. Like, they weren't really. They only had like three interpromotional matches out of eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and really, their main event featured three Japanese guys. I was wrong, by the way. They did have a Knockouts Championship match. I wasn't even aware that was on the card. Havoc defeated Velvet Sky. You mean to tell me they couldn't have brought in, like, some kind of awesome Japanese competition for Havoc? Like, it would have been something
you would
so
think.
Much different. I feel like there's probably one or two good Japanese women's wrestlers out there.
At least.
There are some great ones.
Sure. 3D versus Abyss and Dreamer? Okay. Well, Dreamer's not even in the company. I don't know.
He just showed up.
Yeah. And there was that tag team match that Novus. That's Hiro Kuroshio and Yusugi Kodama defeated Andy Wu and El Hijo del Pantera, and I didn't mean to sound insulting by faking accents with those. That's kind of how I lapse into it when I say them. But, yeah, to me, this sounds like a really awesome, like, TNA World Peace Tour. It doesn't sound to me like their biggest show of the year. How can you not have Bobby Roode on that show? How can you not have the Wolves on that show? I mean,
absolutely.
The Hardys? No Hardys? No Kurt Angle? I know Kurt Angle's not technically with the company, but you mean to tell me you couldn't have brought him in for one show at least? The whole thing just, I don't know. And like I said, I love the TNA people. Some of them, no Austin Aries. It's a head scratcher to me. And
well, I mean Brady, what wrestling show that has done well has ever done something ridiculous like feature well-known popular wrestlers?
I mean, I'm even adding up the minutes for this pay-per-view. I'm sorry. 9:53, 5:50, 8:07, 10:32, 9:15, 12:53, 6 minutes, and 10 minutes. Does that add up to 3 hours? That doesn't even, like...
Hey, let me bust out my...
3 hours.
Brady, hang on, give me my calculator. Let me get my calculator
I'm getting that, because they advertised it as the best 3 hours of wrestling you're going to see this year. Okay, I'm going to round that up to 10. 10 plus, we'll round that up to 6. We'll round that, okay, 8. 10.5, because that's 10.5. 9.25, because that's 9:15. Plus almost 13, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. Plus 6 even. Plus almost 11, not quite 11. That totals 73.75. So that is 1 hour, 13 minutes, and 45 seconds of action. How can that be? How can that be? There had to have been more, right?
Maybe there were a lot of good interview segments.
But it was supposed to be the best 3 hours of wrestling this year.
Well, you know, maybe wrestling is a term that can be fudged a little. Like fudge.
Or 3 hours.
Yes.
Maybe
they
left off all their major stars' matches from the Wikipedia page.
Maybe
this is just like the undercard. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making fun of TNA. I mean, I'm having a little bit of fun here, but at the same time, how do you do that? How do you have a show? Am I wrong here? Did anyone watch this pay-per-view? 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. 1 hour, 13 minutes, and 45 seconds of action. And that was rounding up. I rounded up for a lot of these. I don't see it. I don't get it.
I hate to say I missed the pay-per-view myself, so I really, you know, can't really say, you know, what I saw on my end. But, I mean, it doesn't sound like it lasted too long with those times.
No.
Hang on. Maybe. Okay. Do we think they could have gotten 15 minutes of interviews in that time?
Yeah.
Give an hour 15. Sure. Okay. So maybe the 3 hours was they had an hour and a half wrestling show that you got to watch twice. I'm just tossing out a possibility here.
Maybe they just popped on the Best of Sting DVD from TNA when they were done.
Would anyone have noticed the difference?
Well, I don't know.
Well, we're talking about a company whose ratings literally never change. You know, a Thursday in, you know, the end of March gets literally the same rating as New Year's Eve. I think most of the people who watch TNA are dead, and their TVs are just left on spike.
Wasn't there one week like where Spike TV messed up and they replayed the previous week's episode of Impact and it got the exact same ratings? Am I imagining? I feel like that happened.
No, that did happen.
I thought that did.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I love the TNA people. They're awesome. And I love the idea that we could have real bona fide competition for WWE someday, but this just baffles me. I'm kind of discovering this on the air as we go here. Having added that up, when I casually observed it, I don't know. Let's take a commercial break. Let's regroup here. I definitely want to talk about the guest on the other side because I'm excited about that. That'll be fun. And we'll talk whatever else you guys want to talk about. 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. Toll free. This is In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. For Brady, Ray, Kathy, Maestro. We'll be right back on the other side.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9-8 Central, VOCNation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today.
Hi, this is Anthony.
And this is Garcia.
We are the forces of radio.
The faces for radio.
Come relax with us every Thursday at 5:30. We love hosting Feces for Radio.
That's Faces for Radio. Can you please remember to get the name of the show right?
Sorry. We tackle sports, entertainment, and have a kick-ass soundboard. Erasers for Radio has it all.
Faces for Radio. Are you doing this on purpose?
Why?
You can find us on the VOCNation.com, listen to us live, or download it later. Follow us on Twitter at Faces for Radio 1. That's Faces for Radio. Funky for radio. Shut up.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email the Voice of Truth at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N-Cloud and soar above your competition.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-VOC-RADIO.
Hello, this is ECW Original, former WWE superstar, The Blue Meanie. This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize this. If you are looking to do any kind of autograph session, personal or private, with the greatest in professional wrestling, people always ask me, Blue Meanie, how can I have you on my show? Well, if you'd like to have myself, the BWO, or anybody else, you don't need to go any further than WrestlingMarks.com. Just go to WrestlingMarks.com. Drop them a line, give them a call. My boy Eric will take care of you right away. Now recognize that, partner.
Let me turn this on. Sorry, what's that?
No, I so said we really have to update this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got a good one. Here's a good one. I know Stro will appreciate this. Wait, here we go. RR. How about this?
Welcome to Rev Raw, everybody. That was a great show. I liked how every week, no matter what, you had three hosts who were really super excited to do it.
Yeah. I suspect you were sarcastic, right?
For the first four weeks.
I do feel terrible about the way all that all went down. It got to be too much for me. It did.
I mean, the thing is, it sort of sucks how it all happened. But, like, what do you – if people are mad at you, I'm not sure what the hell they wanted. Because Derek said he wasn't going to do it. And then I was like, yeah, Brady, you realize I don't want to do this show anymore, right?
Right. And Dean Dixon quit. And that Ryan Mays was hardly ever available. Dean Compton was hardly ever available. Really, Stro, I'm sure you can vouch for this. I didn't even know because at some point I stopped going back and listening every week. I didn't realize that, like, I kept scheduling you and Chris Fox and no one else would show up. I felt terrible when I heard that. Like, I felt like these two guys are, like, sitting there and watching Raw and giving it their all. The low point for me was when I did a three-hour recap, or I'm sorry, when I did a Raw recap with Maestro, having not even seen Raw and having not read any reports about what happened. That was when I realized that the show probably isn't for me. It's not possible to turn around on a Monday night and watch that much wrestling. Like, I'm always on the run on Monday. So, like, for me, I just couldn't do it. And so the time came to me where I just had to just play this in my own head. No, I mean, Rob Roll was a great concept. It really was. And I wish we could have gotten more participation. The way I envisioned it when it all started, and by the way, it was Bruce Wirt's idea. God rest his soul. He said to me, "Hey, how would you love to be involved? How would you like to be involved in, like, a Raw recap show?" And I was like, "Sure." And I was like, "You know, we formulated the whole concept. We get, like, a host from each of the shows, and we do, like, a rotating panel. It would be fun. It would be so much fun." He convinced me. Then he started with, "Well, I can't do it." He's like, "I'm too busy." So now he sold me on his concept that he couldn't do. And half the other show hosts couldn't do it either. So it evolved into a whole mess. But I love the idea. And Maestro, for what it's worth, you and Chris Fox, they were fun shows. And I would take them over Real Raw any week almost, I think.
Should we just have our best memory of Rubbed Raw? Because I think my best memory of Rubbed Raw, I think it was Chris, Derek, and I, and Raw was, like, just exceptionally horrible one night. And so instead of, I realize that doesn't really help narrow it down, but it was just exceptionally bad. And so instead of recapping Raw, we recast the original Monday Night Raw.
Jeez.
Which we've all seen, of course.
Yes, and we really thought that Sean Mooney character was going to be going places. We thought he had a bright future.
Sean Mooney.
Yeah, we saw nothing but green grass ahead for Randy Savage in WWE.
You know what? I can remember walking away from the first Raw thinking, wow, that Rob Bartlett character's got some legs. You know? No, there you go. No, but in all seriousness, I wanted to talk about this before next week, and I don't make a habit advertising guests ahead of time because bad things tend to happen when I do, and you guys can shoot me when it falls through. But I got a good feeling about this one. So next week on In the Room. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you recognize the music.
I'm already hooking up.
Multiple time WWE star. He's had several stints with the company. Nick Dinsmore, Eugene, you might know him as Eugene, is going to be back on In the Room next Tuesday night, right around the start of the show, like early on, like right after the 9 o'clock hour. Eugene will be joining us, fresh off his WWE stint as a trainer with NXT. It'll be interesting, guys, and I'll tell you why. Because Eugene, or Nick, he has had so many different roles with WWE over the years. I mean, he's been an on-air character, one of the more controversial ones, by the way. He's been a trainer, both in Ohio Valley, and I believe also in Florida Championship Wrestling, and I know for a fact he's just coming in off an NXT run as well. So he'll be able to compare developmental through the years, all the different systems that have been in place the last 10 years. And if nothing else, he was in Ohio Valley back when it was Batista and John Cena, and CM Punk was there for a little bit. There were a lot of guys that are contemporaries of Eugene. And that's not to count all the times that he's been in the ring with guys like Kurt Angle and Triple H and Randy Orton. I mean, Nick Dinsmore in like 10 years has done more than like so many other wrestlers could ever hope for.
Oh yeah, Nick's a great, great, great wrestler. I know I've had some great matches with him, and just watching him do his thing, you know, personally. I mean, he's such a great talent, and I'm really, you know, excited that, you know, he's going to be on the show next week and provide his views on what's going on with his career and what's happening with him, and his time with developmental down in Florida with the Performance Center and everything, and even chewing the fat about the history, his history throughout his career, with an OVW and
yeah.
Being with the great people he's been with in the ring, like Regal, etc. So I mean, it's next week should be really exciting.
How many guys can say they were trained by Rip Rogers? Like, I love it. I'm excited. Kathy, you're familiar with Nick, right? I mean,
yeah.
Tell me what a great guy he is. Because, I mean, I know, but tell these listeners. I mean, my God.
I mean, I've met him a few times, and, exactly what Stuart said. He's very outgoing, very honest, always had a great sense of humor when we always sat around and joked around and everything.
Talk about a sense of humor. I had to drive him one time. He came in to Delaware for one of J. Jim Kettner's old Super 8 tournaments. I believe it was Jim Kettner's last one, actually. And we were driving, you know, we're driving through Delaware, and Nick and I are talking, and he realizes that he doesn't have any cigarettes. He wants to stop and get cigarettes. So he's like, we pull up at this little, like, kind of convenience store gas station thing, and, you know, I turn off the engine, and he's like, oh, you're going to want to come inside for this. And I'm like, what? And he basically goes in doing his Eugene character, getting cigarettes.
Oh, geez.
Oh my God, it was like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, this guy is like, my God. I just, like, I wanted to take him to a toy store and film vignettes with him. Like, it was so cool to, like, see the Eugene character come to life right in front of me. He just, like, starts biting his thumb, and it's like, oh, my God. I love it. So.
But now, Brady, at midnight, did he turn back into a pumpkin?
I was long gone by midnight. I don't know. I don't know. So that's our guest for next Tuesday. Assuming I didn't jinx it, of course. Nick Dinsmore, Eugene, former WWE star. I don't think he was ever in TNA. I don't think he was.
That's a good career move.
Stro, weren't in TNA, were you, Stro?
I can't say that I who myself for TNA or him?
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah, were you ever in TNA?
Like in No, I can't say that I've been in TNA.
Okay.
But
see, also a good career move. Again, not going to TNA.
Well, like Ray and I, we actually pulled up an alumni page for TNA the last couple weeks, and we've been looking at a lot of the names, and a lot of them were, like, very unfamiliar to us, because TNA had a lot of, like, really kind of dark years there where a lot of wrestling fans didn't see what they were doing, you know? And
those
there were a
years,
lot of names,
Brady, by the way.
Like, yeah.
Brady, those years would be 2002 through 2014.
No. No. Maybe a little. No. No.
I mean, Stro, he's not lying. Like, if you look and you start seeing names that are supposedly TNA alumni from, like, those first couple of years, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think they were just finding people, like outside the grounds and saying, hey, you should be on a show.
What was that guy's name? Wasn't it, like, Silent Orgasm or something like that?
Screaming Orgasm.
Screaming Orgasm.
Screaming Climax. That's what it was.
Screaming
it was Climax.
Screaming Climax. That would be pretty bad to be the Screaming Orgasm, I guess, in the ring. No, it was the Screaming Climax. You're right. And I've made it my goal. I'm going to get some of these names on the show. I haven't been able to get any yet. We're going to keep trying.
Oh, I definitely want to find... Brady, I definitely need to find Screaming Climax.
I really think it'll be hilarious because when I actually pay the bills on dbradyhicks.com and it comes back, you can, like, sort... Like, you can go into the interview section and you can sort it by, like, most of the major promotions. And, like, you click on TNA or whatever, you'll see AJ Styles there. You'll see Christopher Daniels. You'll see Madison Rayne, Crimson. You see a list of, like, pretty big names from TNA's past. And it's only a matter of time before we're going to start filtering in names like the Silent Climax in that list.
It's
going to muddy the waters. It's going to muddy the waters.
Who was it, like Monkey the Bell Ringer or something like that?
It was something like that, yeah.
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 I for one, Brady, cannot wait. And you know the number one question? What was the backstage spread? Answer, the French fries from between the seat of Jeff Jarrett's car.
Oh,
wow. Goodness. Let's be fair. I'm sure Jeff splurged for fresh French fries. I would think so.
I don't know, man. Those were some shoestring years.
All right. So that's where we're at.
This breaking news from NWATNA.com.
855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. Toll free. Right here via the net carrier and cloud. Bruce Word is gone. The VOC Nation lives on. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll do some lights out, and we'll get out of here. We'll see you guys on the other side.
Right here, right now, you better recognize that I am down with the VOC Nation. Recognize that.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday or call live toll-free at 1-855-VOC-RADIO.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it folded down on itself and it is not...
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation at 7 p.m. Eastern
every Saturday. And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
The godless voice of Crab Nation. None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as more than stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Pop the car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crowds on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Entertainment with an attitude.
Fear is just one enemy.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right. Welcome back to In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com and ZBradyHicks.com. Brady Hicks here with the Stroh and Ray and Kathy. 855-VOC-RADIO. That's the number that you want to call to get in touch with us. We got just about, well, we got a half an hour left. I guess I misread the clock. I thought it was about 20 of. That's why I took the break early. Yeah, 855-862-7234. Toll free. This is In the Room on Net Carrier NCLEX. That's who's bringing it to us live as we hear it. Not on my site, not on thebradyhicks.com. I forgot to take
it. Well, you know.
It's back. Yeah, next week it'll be back in the room.
I've always wanted to, since we're doing Lights Out, and I've always wanted to say this about this particular show, and I never wanted to say it because it would have put an awkward spot between it probably would have put an awkward spot between you and Bruce and I, and I know who would have won that, but you're not going to kick me off in that way. So now I can say this because Bruce isn't here, so I don't have to worry about him anymore. I could not possibly emphasize this more. Do not listen to the advertisement and stay away. Stay away from Crab Nation. Do not listen to that show.
Okay.
I could not possibly discourage you from listening to it more.
You fall on the opposite end of the spectrum from those guys, and that's part of it, I'm sure.
Oh, it's also, here's the thing. I mean, and I've always said this. If you have different views on life than I do, I can tolerate you, but you have to at least be entertaining. And there is no part of their show that is at all entertaining. It is NPR with cuss words.
I mean, fair enough. I find myself not agreeing with a lot of what they say, but...
Well, Brady, I mean, how often do you find yourself agreeing with 14-year-olds? You know, I mean, come on. You find yourself doing that very rarely.
We were having our little discussion during the commercial break there on, like, the little private chat area, and then we all switched over to catch, like, the last minute of commercials before we came back on the air, and the first thing I heard, and this is the show that I want to go on more than any other show on the VOC Nation Radio Network, guys, I want to be on Shelly Martinez's show. Like, that sounds like so much fun.
Is it because they're the Martinez girls?
Hi there. Hi there. I get excited for that. Maestro,
I dig the commercials.
Pleasure? Yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I dig the commercials.
Sure.
So do about 100,000 lonely dudes.
Now, I haven't had the chance to directly interact with Shelly Martinez aside from one VOC special that we did when In the Room first joined. Like, that was the only time that I ever had a chance to interact with Shelly. But Bruce tells me I'm in for a treat. I can't wait. Because apparently... Shelly Martinez emails her shows into Bruce, and then he has to, like, basically put them up. So I guess they're not live. I thought they were. I guess they're not.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But I'd still love to be a part of it. You know, if she would have me on the air, my God, the fun I would have.
Hey, dear, hi, dear, ho, dear.
Hey, there, hi, there, ho, there. Come on down. It's Save Wrestling the Podcast.
Yeah, hey, dear.
Town.
Very good,
I mean,
yeah.
She's not even in the business making town anymore. She's in, like, friggin' Tampa. Maybe that is the business making town. I assume she meant L.A.
Well, I mean, Tampa, L.A., those are pretty close. She probably just commutes.
Yeah. Right. So that's where we are with that. We've kind of like, during that break, we were kind of acclimating the Maestro to our Lights Out concept. And I think it's time to do it. I mean, I guess it's a little early, but those kind of things tend to take a while. So I definitely wanted to make sure we spend some time on it tonight, because I have a fatty food, guys, that I think is going to like melt your hearts right now. It's absolutely disgusting.
It's called cholesterol.
It's called pizza cake. I'm talking five, count them, five pepperoni personal pan pizzas stacked on top of each other. A glaze around the outside to make them one. Sliced like a big old piece of chocolate cake.
Hmm. Yum.
That would have been Derek's reaction, I think.
Has there been in the history of the show a more stoic host than Derek McDonald? I submit that there is not.
you're probably right. Well,
I'm trying to think of one, but like, I mean, do you remember the times where you would have to leave and so the show would be Derek and I? Do you remember how fast we turned into the grumpy old men?
Yeah.
I mean, it happened. Like, you turned your mic off and we changed. We immediately got white hair and rocking chairs.
I mean, you guys were funny. I mean, I can remember one time, I want to say I left the show like 20 minutes early. I think I was losing my voice or I had a headache or something. I just said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to leave the show running. You guys just do your thing, and when you're done, say goodbye and hang up, and the show will be over. And my God, goddamn if they didn't give me more than an hour after I hung up. We were like 45 minutes into overtime, and it was just Ray and Derek just bitching about anything they could think of.
Yeah, a lot of things bother us. And you know, really, if you're friends with us on the old Facebook, and you see like our status threads, that's literally exactly how we are all the time. Either we're talking about food, or we're making some sort of like just beat down, flippant comment about something. Those are the only two ways we know how to communicate, and it's awesome.
Now, Ray, was that the official stance of the Bleacher Report as well? Is that how they preferred that their staffers act?
No, actually, I was the anti Bleacher Report person.
Okay.
when I was there. I was there back in its Wild West days, Brady.
Wild.
I was there back in the days when a man could roll into town with no credentials. Actually, I guess that's still how it is, pretty much. But I was there when the ability of a man to roll into town with no credentials and start writing was a new idea.
You know what's funny? You'll appreciate it. I was reading something on Bleacher Report today. I forget what it was.
Don't do that.
You know what it was? I know what it was. It was the top celebrities to have been banned from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow. Right.
Okay. And you know how they have this format where you basically you have to click next page to read each one. Like, you can't just read them on the same page. Yes.
Yes, well, you know why? Because they are BuzzFeed taken to the next level.
Well, what I found funny about it is someone actually took the time to put in a link that said, click here if you would like to read them all the entries on one page. And I thought, yes, that should be the default. Why do I have to click 15 times to read an article? And
page
wait for my
views.
Somebody lost page views on that one.
Oh no, somebody, let me tell you this. Some editor got a very harsh email. Which if they were me, they probably now if this editor were me, this editor then promptly sent an equally harsh email back.
I love it. So does anyone have anything for Lights Out? Anything piss you off? I know what we were going to talk about. The Book It. Pizza Hut brought back the Book It Club for alumni. I'm signed up. Ray, you're signed up, right?
I am not. No,
okay.
I am not because I am an adult.
Yeah.
If I would like pizza, I can purchase it for myself.
Well, I got a free personal pan out of the deal.
You are a child. You are a giant man child.
All I had to give them was my name, my address, my phone number, and my school.
And what was your school?
Well, I mean, where I went when I was in elementary. They wanted to know where I was in Alabama.
So I would have to go into my local Pizza Hut, and I would have to say, "Hello, my name is Ray Bogus. I am originally from Northwest Indiana. I went to St. Mary's Catholic Elementary in Griffith, Indiana, where I participated in the Book It Club from kindergarten through third grade. I would appreciate it if you added me to your alumni list."
Well, it wasn't that formal. I mean...
And then I tried to sell them some magazines. Hello, sir. I am trying to sell you magazines. I am trying to get clean. I get a percentage of each magazine I sell you.
We used to sell Christmas ornaments. That was our thing. And M&Ms. We would sell Christmas ornaments and M&Ms. Twice a year.
Oh, we had the huge, like, I don't know. Where'd you go, Brady? Were you Catholic or were you public?
I was a Catholic. No, I wasn't the public
religion. You were a Catholic. Yeah. Well, I don't know why that, because we had that too. Because apparently my parents, the exorbitant amount of tuition my parents spent wasn't enough. So we also, we also had to sell candy for Jesus. And, like, we had a big candy store that opened up. And I don't know how socially awkward you were around age 7, but my level of social awkwardness was very high. And I was so bad at selling the candy that I would bring it home, and my parents knew that they shouldn't even ask for me to attempt to try to sell any on my own, because all it would do was end in frustration and embarrassment for me.
You know what? I had a bunch of old lady neighbors, and they loved me. I didn't even have to say a word. I just showed up with a box on my doorstep, on their doorstep, and they'd bring me inside, and my God, if I didn't sell all that candy. And I didn't have to say a word. I was just so damn cute, you know?
You know, I think, here's the thing. I mean, like, your mom always says you're cute. You were cute when you were a kid, and, my mom says that about me, too. But, like, I think that I was actually sort of unlikable as a child. I think that would have.
Why
I mean,
would
I don't
that
know.
Ever
like,
be, Ray? Why?
I mean, I don't know for sure, but like, I suspect that that was the case.
Oh well.
Like the kid who you say, man, only his mother could love him. Like, I suspect that I was that kid. I don't know. I couldn't sell any of them. And, like, to this day, I couldn't sell. I live in the desert, Brady. I live in literally the middle of the desert.
The desert.
I couldn't sell water to my neighbors.
Water.
How far is your neighbor, Ray?
What?
How far are you from your next neighbor?
I mean, not that far. But, like, I couldn't sell, and by not that far, I mean, like, so I have a patio on the roof of my house, and, like, if I got a running start, I could jump from my house to his house.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I live in, like, an actual neighborhood, but it's a neighborhood in literally the middle of the desert. Yeah, I could not sell water or air conditioning to them at all.
Where?
Like, if I came around, let's pretend that the people here did not have running water or air conditioning, okay? And I came around selling those things, I would not be able to sell any of it. People would come to my pitch, and they would say, you know, we're just not really sure about this whole water thing. You know, we'll come back later. We're going to go home right now, but we're going to come back later, son.
We're going to think about it.
Yeah, we're going to think about it.
I'm going to mull it over.
No, let me think about just not coming back, because that would just be wasting both of our time.
I love it. Maybe it's your pitch. You know, maybe.
Well, that's just it. Like, I have, no matter what the product is that I have, I suppose this extends to, like, my job and stuff as well. Like, I have no emotional investment in anything. Like, you could say, Ray, go sell water to the people of the Sahara Desert. And I would say, okay. And then, like, I would show up and I'd be like, yeah, this is water, buy it or don't, I don't care. Like, that's my sales pitch. Yeah, I have a price. If you want it, you want it. If you don't, I guess if you don't, I'll just move on. I don't care.
There's the passion right there. I'm assuming, Stro and Kathy, that you guys never had to go door to door selling things.
Well, no, we had that one booklet, the Joe Corby.
Oh, I love them. Like,
yes.
The pizzas and stuff. Yeah, the
pizzas,
pizza kit.
The cheeses and all that. Not the pizza cake.
Freaking incredible.
But that was the best thing. You just take it around and go, here you go. And thankfully, I had a bunch of ants and everything, so I just go, here you go.
Mine was vacuums and chocolate bars for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Vacuums? That's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
Really interesting combination. Like, you show up at the house, would you like to buy some chocolate? No. Well, wait till you see what I have next. You crumple up the chocolate, spread it all over the carpet. This vacuum will pick all this chocolate up in one pass.
Oh, yeah. It was that or, like, Amway products at one time. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Oh, the Amway pyramid scheme? I love them. They're the best.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mostly it was, like, Tupperware stuff. Unbelievable.
Wow.
I don't know.
Tupperware and soap.
Ooh, that's another hard sell. Joe, you bought some Tupperware. How would you like some soap to clean your Tupperware? here's the ridiculous part. I'd say, and I knew all these things were true when I was a kid and kind of through high school and stuff. I sort of knew that I should not be the one out trying to raise money for you. If I am your fundraising guy, the prospects of your venture continuing for another fiscal year are bad. That's just the reality. There's lots of things I can do, but I am not the salesperson guy, which is why in high school, when I signed up to do yearbook, and one of the things I was assigned was to go around to businesses to sell ads. And so I dropped yearbook because I knew. But here's the best part. At one point when I was in college, I needed a job. And I interviewed at an Office Max. And I said, oh, you know, if I said, and I applied. I said, it's Office Max. I show up. I stock the office supplies. Maybe I work at the register for a while. That's it. And I spent the next 2 hours, in interviews with people telling them about my salesmanship ability, which, as I've already laid out for you, is not impressive.
Wow.
Goodness.
What would you say to a customer if they were indecisive about a product? And so I gave them an honest answer. I said, I guess I'd say maybe you should go home and think about it and decide if the product is right for you.
So, Ray, how long did you last at this job?
It could have been worse.
It could have been worse. It could have been cookies.
Speaking of stupid things we did at school when we were kids, did you guys have the little Santa's workshop thing come to your elementary school? And then, like, you walked through and you bought some stupid gift?
Your parents will give you like $20 to buy them like plastic rulers and like a little photo frame that like you couldn't buy in the dollar store.
I did have like a fishing rod and tied to a dollar bill one time, and I kind of like lured somebody out of the classroom all the way down the hallway, and he was like on his hands and knees chasing the dollar bill.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember one time someone in the class kind of ticked me off. So right before everybody took a break, you know, went to the bathroom, I replaced the soap with the gimmick soap, so it changes your hands different colors. And the guy, he washed his hands, did it. He kept his hands in his pockets the whole day.
Well, there were other reasons people were doing that, but
that started the show.
I think he ended up borrowing some gloves or something later on because he couldn't like wash it out because it was his hands are like all these different funky colors like put together.
I bet you've seen some awesome ribs, man. We definitely will have to talk about this kind of stuff on future shows. I'll bet you've you've really lived.
Oh my gosh! I can't wait. I look forward to it.
We'll try our best not to name any names. So anyway. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Ray, there was something else you wanted to talk about tonight for Lights Out, wasn't there?
Was there?
Maybe not.
I don't remember.
I thought there was something else you said. Maybe not. We
remember.
Did book it. We did book it. We did elementary school sales. Does anybody else have anything? We might have hit a wall with 5 minutes left.
I don't know. What did you think about that Eagles game?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
What's that, Kathy?
What did you think about that Eagles game?
Well, as an Eagles fan, I loved it.
It was great.
As somebody who has to read DJ's wall and all of his posts, I loved it. I'm not gonna like be like, hey, you know, we're gonna win the Super Bowl now, but I was happy. I mean, it was a good game.
That was a good day for Eagles fans. And what I think is probably going to be a better day for you guys is the day the Cowboys finish the season at 8-8 again.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting because right now they're 5-1 and we have a big showdown with them on Thanksgiving Day, which I couldn't tell you the last time the Eagles played Dallas on Thanksgiving. So I'm excited about that.
We've only usually played them on Christmas.
Yeah, it's been Christmas. Mm-hmm. We had a Thanksgiving Day game a couple years ago, but we've never gotten the Dallas game, you know?
You know, here's something I guess we could bring up, because I don't want to think about that game because Victor Cruz got hurt, and so now I have to replace him.
Oh, I have a scumbag, by the way. I just remembered, but go ahead.
Okay. For as insufferable as Philadelphia sports teams fans are, and you really are just an unlikable group of people, have I hated a group of people more than I did when the Blackhawks were playing the Flyers for the Cup.
Okay.
At no point have I hated people more than that. But
why?
Because you're just so unlikable and so ill-informed about your sport.
We're passionate.
We were close to winning that. I mean, there was a time when it looked like we had a shot at winning that series.
At what point?
Games. The second half of game three through five and a half. I would say, yeah. And honestly, game six went to overtime. If we had scored, you know, I mean, obviously we didn't win that game, but if we did win that game, there would have been a game seven. And
taking from somebody who's watched him play here before that particular series, counting on Michael Layton to be your goaltender is not a recipe for victory.
Yeah, he was good that year, though. I mean,
it
came out of nowhere. I mean, he's good after that, but
this is not about my rabid hatred for Philadelphia Flyers fans.
Okay.
This is about my even more rabid hatred for fans of the St. Louis Cardinals. Why can't they die? The team, not the team this year, not the actual fans. I don't want them dead. Why can't this team go away, Brady? I just want to try to enjoy some postseason baseball, and they're ruining it for me.
Well, I mean, you're going to be really disappointed when St. Louis beats the winner of the ALCS, I guess, right?
I don't think that's going to happen. I have bad news for fans of the National League. The Royals are really, really hot right now. They're so hot right now.
All right, Dean Compton, I'll take your word for it. I mean, I don't watch baseball. And if I did, it would be the Phillies. So I don't watch baseball.
Oh yeah, you're just making yourself so unlikable. What other fan base like applauds themselves puking on people?
I you know what, the baseball is not my thing. So I mean,
yeah, I can't stand baseball.
Here. What fan base applauds themselves, Eagles fans? What fan base is like, yeah, that's right, we threw batteries at Santa Claus?
That's us.
In 1963, I wasn't even alive.
I was at that game when they threw snowballs at Santa Claus against the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, I'm old. I was at 50-yard line.
Okay. I totally forget where I was going with all of this. Ray, did you have a point?
You had a scumbag.
You were
I just the population of St. Louis. Now,
you
Ray,
know
you had a scumbag.
Let me just say this because we are going to overtime. So download only version if you want to hear the rest of this, guys. The live feed is now off the air. This is exclusively on VOCNation.com as a download only. And it'll be up on TheBradyHicks.com as soon as I pay the bill. My scumbag for this week, because when Victor Cruz got hurt, there was a lot of celebrating going on. And it wasn't celebrating because Victor Cruz got hurt, as the New York Post decided to imply.
Mm-hmm.
It was celebrating because they went for it on fourth down in the end zone and they missed.
Exactly.
And the New York Post captured one picture of a security guard going absolutely nuts because the Eagles just had this defensive stand. Meant to imply that we were barbarically cheering the injury to Victor Cruz. Now, I don't like Victor Cruz. I think his salsa dance is outdated. I think he needs some new material. When Eli Manning said,
"You should get sent on to NXT."
That's what he needs. He needs some retooling. When Eli Manning said, "How are we ever going to replace someone like that in my lineup?" I thought, well, I could step in and get one catch for 8 yards if that's all you need. I think I could do that every game. But here's my thing. We weren't barbarically cheering his injury. In fact, in a show of, like, sportsmanship that I never would have even expected, the stadium was silent. I mean, it was silent. People were on their knees praying. Like, I think they really thought that the injury was much worse than it was. You could talk about Michael Irvin or whatever. I mean, he was a jerk-off when he used to play for the Cowboys and he would play here.
And now he's a jerk-off on the NFL Network.
And now he's a jerk-off on the NFL Network, exactly. But Victor Cruz, I mean, as much as a jerk-off as I think he is, and it probably is just in part because he plays for the enemy, I thought Philadelphia really showed some class yesterday, and I thought what the New York Post did to try to misportray that, to try and tell a story and take the heat off of their piss-poor performance of their city, the New York Giants losing 27-0. I don't understand how you don't even get a field goal. I found what the New York Post did to be absolutely classless. And
yep.
I know it's journalism, and that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes you just want to portray a story that might not entirely be there, but they told the wrong story there. I think the Philadelphia fans got it right for once, and I was really proud. That's my scumbag.
Oh, do you have a scumbag?
Yep.
So are we good? Anybody else have a scumbag for this week?
Well, Brady, I think it's just you, me, and Kathy now.
What?
I'm here.
Oh, you are here. Okay.
He's staying neutral. I don't blame him. Coincidentally, a bunch of New Yorkers are calling. There's a local. I'm going to call him a shock jock. That's not really what he is. He's a sports talk guy. He works for ESPN radio here in Philadelphia. His name is Mike Missinelli.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Missinelli sent out a tweet right after the injury, basically. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said, like, you know, the dancing is over or something along those lines. And New York people, New York fans have been calling for his head for like 3 days now.
He had over 3,000 tweets about it.
Get over it, those guys.
Doesn't New York have its own problems? You know, like the fact that it's a filthy, awful city. Shouldn't they be concerned about that?
You know, Ray, I think if you moved to New York City, you could really move some candy. I'm just saying.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could. I couldn't sell fresh air in New York. God only knows they have a shortage of that.
Oh, God.
I mean, I've been to Philly before, and as awful as I think you people are, just live in your own cesspool.
What do you mean,
Philadelphia
you
has some... Philadelphia, you people. You sewer-dwelling Philadelphians. You guys have some redeeming qualities.
Thank you.
You do. I kind of like your city.
Mm-hmm.
No, you
I kind of like your city. I mean, granted, it's not as great as the Midwest or, you know, hell or something. But, I mean, it's tolerable. Like I said, even though your barbaric, paganistic East Coast ways offend my my upstanding Midwestern sensibilities.
This is a man that lives in the desert now. You have sewer monsters and rattlesnakes living with you?
Kathy, while I do currently live in beautiful Yuma, Arizona, I am a Midwesterner at heart, because that
yes,
is where I have lived
for. You now have monsters and rattlesnakes.
That is where I have lived for most of my life, and there are no rattlesnakes in this particular section of the desert. Despite the fact that a lot of things about the East Coast offend my Midwestern sensibilities, there's some redeeming parts to Philadelphia. I've enjoyed it the couple of times I've been there. New York has literally zero redeeming qualities. I cannot envision a reason to be there.
No. I think
it's all the ambiance of China without getting to go someplace exotic.
Oh, God.
Ambiance of China. Nice.
We have to get out of here. Stro, thank you for joining us. I hope we didn't scare you off with this show. Is there anything that you wanted to plug you've got coming up? I know you're a busy guy.
Oh, yeah, it's been a blast. Thank you guys for having me. I know this is going to be a busy weekend this weekend for me. This Friday, I'll be defending the Trans-South Wrestling Heavyweight Championship in Union, South Carolina at the Union County Fair at the Fairground. Saturday, I'll be all day at the Tidewater Comic-Con at Virginia Beach, Virginia, with my buddy Luke Gallows, Bullet Club, Japan, and his wife, Amber Anil Gallows. And then Saturday night in Yorktown, Virginia, I'll be with my buddy Mike Knox, who are wrestling for Southside Pro Wrestling in Yorktown, VA. And Sunday, I will be on pay-per-view for the Go Fight Live Network for IWWA Pro Wrestling. Givers and Takers special, which will air, I think, around 4:35-ish on the Go Fight Live Network. So,
awesome.
Yeah. And for
at these appearances, at any of them, will you be playing the piano as you are most famously known for?
Well, if there is one available, you know, if you want to hear a little ditty, you know, I mean, I could play one for you.
Well, no, I mean, no, like I would enjoy the idea of you still doing the Stro Maestro gimmick.
Oh, I've changed a lot since then, my friend.
The idea of you still doing that.
I mean, I dabble on the side, you know. I mean, heck, I got a buddy that's got like a Southern rock band. You know,
ooh.
I go to some of his gigs, and they play like 80s rock and Southern rock, and, you know, a little bit of country, you know, depending on what location they're at. But, I mean, yeah, they're really good. The guys, matter of fact, they're called Traveler, and they're on Facebook. It's Traveler without the E in the middle, and they... the guy, the lead guitarist, he's leader of the band. He used to play for Nashville, and they got another guitarist that used to be the Super Great Cowboy Band, like play with, you know, some of the 38 Special Boys back in the day, you know.
Wow.
But and like, you know, if you guys watch Sleepy Hollow on the Fox Network, I'm gonna be appearing on the series in a couple weeks.
Really?
On Sleepy Hollow, yeah. And I got a trailer premiering next month, Dracula's War. Trailer premiering where I'm helping Van Helsing fight Dracula and the vampires. That'll be premiering. And also I have a movie premiere called The Hollow Oak, which will also be premiering next month, which I'm one of the witch hunters in the film, as well as one of the choreographers for the fight scene. So, but for all information, what's going on with me, you know, and films, wrestling, et cetera, just go to my official website at www.thestro.com. On Twitter at the Stro, and Facebook, Stro the Maestro.
Hey, Maestro, ask me what I'm doing this weekend.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to catch up on sleep and go to a corn maze. Thank you for listening.
Woo!
Now, see, I like to keep busy,
nice.
Too. I like to keep busy, too. Yeah.
That's great.
It should be fun. It should be a great time. Best of luck this weekend with everything. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into In the Room this week right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network, VOCNation.com and DeepBradyHicks.com. We'll be back next week. Joining us right at the top of the hour, Nick Eugene Dinsmore from the WWE. He'll be here with us. On behalf of Ray, Kathy, Maestro, this is In the Room. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.